SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back, everybody. It's hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. Hour three, you guys know what that means. I am joined by my friend Casey Bubba at BDNTrick on the Twitter. We had some good football tonight as we're recording this. We had the Thursday night football game where the Seahawks hang on. And in the college game, Tulsa and Tulane took it all the way down to the wire. Tulsa wins in double overtime. Another comeback win for them on a pick six to win it. My buddy Aaron in the Army had a plus 5.5 bet. So no good on that, but he did take Tulane plus 14 live in game. So even himself out there, but some good football on a Thursday night, Bubba.
Yeah, definitely. That's one of those bad beats that Scott Van Pelt puts on a show on Monday night. That's one that you better tell your buddy to tune in for so you can relate to the rest of the world. Because that stings. Been there, done that. When I used to gamble a lot, I remember those. There was one, I believe it was Ohio State and Northwestern, I think it was Northwestern, where they basically threw it out of the back of the end zone. That was fun to end the game. So yeah, you don't forget those ones. You don't forget them at all.
I remember worst one ever was I bet on Roy Jones Jr. against Antonio Tarver, and I paid for the three or four bills on Roy Jones Jr. And then I paid for the pay-per-view, which was, you know, $80. So I'm out almost $500 at the end of the night. And by the way, I got up to take a leak when he got knocked out. So, that's just the way it works. I was drinking too much Coors Light back in the day there. So, those bad beats are tough. I tell you what though, my guy, Nick over at CFP Winning Edge, we were doing on that podcast earlier, and he had Tulane plus 6.5 and the over of 53.5. So they lost by 6 only, and 54 was the total. So those two hooks, he hung on there. So that was nice. But when we come back, I'm going to ask Bubba about the Masters. I'm going to ask him how it went and to wrap it up because I didn't see any of it. And then we're going to talk about the Thursday night game and get to the bets. So stick with us here. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. We'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, Buckaroo.
All night.
Welcome back, everybody. It's In This League on the Sports Grid and the Mightier 1090 in San Diego. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. I'm here with Casey Bubba. Bubba, please tell everybody where they can find all of your great work all over the interwebs.
Well, I appreciate it. You can find most of it. Just follow me on Twitter at BDNTrick for one. But I've been releasing my fantasy baseball rankings. The outfield ones came out later in the week, third base earlier in the week, and outfield part two and starting pitchers next week over on fantasysportsdgens.com. That I'm writing content over at Rotoballer for NFL DFS and season-long fantasy baseball right now. Most importantly, Bench with Bubba podcast coming out once or twice a week. Had a fun one this last week talking about best balls and formats because that's kind of growing a little more these days. So a little bit of stuff on that. And then obviously the Fantasy Black Book is coming out in December. I have to still wrap up first base and third base there and submit that to Mr. P. Sapia by the 1st. But that's coming out earlier than usual, so come check that out. But a ton of content. I have my golf podcast and much more. Just follow me on Twitter. It's all there, all the stuff and things.
Yeah, the Welsh has been talking about getting his chapters in on time as well. He said, yeah, you know, he sent out a group message the other day, and I'm like, PZP, you can just say it's me. I'm like, I doubt it is just you.
Now, Tom, I bet it's a bunch of people. I still haven't even submitted my bio thing that he's been asking for. I have, like, my list. Like, I'm going to do it. I'm like, I'm last year, my first year doing the book, I was done, like, 3 weeks early. I was, like, so pumped on it.
Yeah.
And now I'm, like, sitting here about 12 days to go, and I'm like, yeah, I'll knock it out next week.
Well, I mean, to be fair, he is asking for it a little bit earlier than last year. So 3 weeks early might have been right on time for this year, to be honest.
Exactly. Fair enough.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So don't beat yourself up about that. I mean, I'm always like, you know, turn in like maybe 3 hours before the deadline. Like, did you get it? And he's like, yes, I got your novel. Thank you.
Well, that's the thing is last year I wrote a novel and he even told me like, you don't have to write that much. So like, I'm looking at, he did first and third base last year and I'm looking at some of it. I'm like, I can do that like in half a day. Like, come on. And then you know how it goes when you're doing like, I know people probably don't care about this, but when you're doing like these player like profiles for all these different ones, some long, some short, you almost have to like, get in the zone and they just keep flowing like one after another.
Yeah.
So it's like hard for me if I know I only got like 45 minutes. I'm like, I really don't want to get going because then I'm going to like shut it down and figure it out again later. So that's like,
right. Yeah. When you get it, like when we wrote our, 99 player debates books, those were done like, you know, I did them in a full month, but I maybe worked on them for 5 days total. Cause it's just like you get in that zone and then you write for like 8 or 9 hours and you crank out a bunch of them and you're like, okay, now I'm a quarter done. Then I'm a quarter done. You know what I mean? So you have to be in the right frame of mind because if you're not, you're getting distracted by stuff. Like,
well, that's the thing is the pandemic screwing me over because when I used to do my best writing, I take my laptop to a coffee shop, Starbucks, whatever, and I sit in a corner and I put my ear pods in and I would just zone out.
Right.
Now I can't do that anymore.
Yeah. You got to socially distance. There's stuff to do in your house.
Yeah, because there's a little one crying or wanting milk or something now, so it's like really complicated.
Yeah, either that or you can just flip on the TV. Like I can flip on the TV if I want, you know. So you do get sidetracked when you're writing that stuff, and also that's why I don't. I usually only write the black book, the rookie profiles for the football black book because I also when I read my writing, I'm like, why would you say this like this, stupid? Why wouldn't you streamline it? And then I'll redo it like 3 or 4 times. And so that gets to me. So this year for the Black Book, I pushed myself up against that deadline. I was like, no redos. You get one shot at this. So let's go.
The other thing is a guy like you and myself that we podcast so much. Even Joe said it. Others told me we write like we're talking on a podcast, which you can't do in articles.
It's too much. Yeah. It's too much. You have to pare it back. And you're like, well, I'm not really saying everything I want to say here. So how do I say this quicker? You know, all that stuff. So, good little profile here on writing some stuff, Bubba. I like it. But let's talk about the Masters. I didn't get to see any of it. Obviously, I had some family stuff going on over the week here, but, what was it fun seeing the Masters at this time of the year and who won and were you surprised?
It was really cool seeing it this time of year because usually, you know, I'm a golf nut. So I like they call it the fall swing because a lot of the big time players take the fall off. So you see a lot of the young guys and it's kind of fun to get to see it all. But, you know, this year with everything being weird, you're seeing a lot of the big guys, even the big guys this week are playing in Georgia for the Sea Island Classic. Like it's just a weird deal. But the Masters in November was trippy because instead of like this bright green that they always promote, it was kind of like the fall foliage thing. So that was cool. The weirdest part, and I had a buddy say it before I could watch it on Thursday last week, that it was really weird with no fans. Like we've been watching golf with no fans since this all started, and it hasn't bugged me at all. First time I turned the TV on, it was trippy because I was seeing parts of the golf course I've never seen, like at all, ever. It was bizarre because it usually seems so narrow, and it seemed wide open and all this country. Like I was blown away. But it was awesome golf still. It was different, like the way the course was set up because just the temperatures and the rains they got and stuff. So you can't do certain things to it. That's just a way deeper dive we don't need to get into right now. But
I don't know if I would understand.
Yeah, I was like, we won't go there.
I'm just like smiling and nodding like, yes.
If anybody has questions, at VD Intric on Twitter, we'll talk all that all day long. But Dustin Johnson won. And he basically was my pick going into it. It was a lazy pick. He was the second favorite to win it. I said basically he was the former number one player. He's back to number one player in the world since like the last 3 months or whatever. He has finished no worse than fourth. Like the dude is like lights out right now. He's dating Paulina Gretzky for crying out loud. He's got two kids with her. The dude is just lights like focused. And after round one, he shot 7 under, which is like tied for the best round ever. He did it twice over the weekend, by the way. He ended up winning by five strokes, set the record, finishing 20 under. Like, he was just locked in. It was beautiful. Like, he's got a tendency, Boggs. I know you don't watch it, but he's gone into Sundays leading before. And then he falls apart. Oh, yeah, no. Pretty much. And it started out, he had two bogeys in the first three rounds combined. And then he goes like par, par, birdie, then bogey, bogey. And everyone's like, oh, here it comes. Okay, it's coming. And there's like two young kids behind him were playing well. And then he just basically like put his foot on the gas and just took off. That's one thing about golf. When a very, very good player is locked in, it is a sight to see. Like, it is like, for someone that appreciates golf, he makes it look so easy. And it's just one thing after another. And there was a lot of good golf besides just him winning it. Dustin Johnson, a lot of good young kids played well. A lot of veterans have played well. It was overall really, really good to see. So I could talk about this for a long time.
Did you see how the numbers were like on TV and stuff? Were they good? Were they down? Were they up because so many people are staying inside? Like, how did they do on the TV side for it?
I'd imagine it did really well. I did not see the Masters ratings. I literally didn't check, but I know for a fact throughout COVID, the ratings have been through the roof. The best they've ever had. Before football started up, it was beating every other sport, like smoking every sport. There's a lot of new golf fans right now because we talked about it way back when, Boggs. Like, we were watching NASCAR on Wednesday nights, remember? People just wanted something to watch. Like, people have learned to love golf. So I'd imagine, especially because no one could go to the Masters, that thing's usually sold out with thousands of people every day. So now they're all at home watching it on TV. Like, this, it was must-see TV for a lot of people.
Yeah, I was so snooty the other night. I was over having dinner at my mom's with my cousins and stuff. And I had the TV. My mom has this big TV and you can pull it out and aim it towards the dinner table. So I'm always doing that, you know. Yeah. And there was this truck stock racing thing going on. And right after that game, a Friday night football game was coming on. And I think it was like Iowa, Minnesota or Minnesota versus someone, Maryland maybe. Yep. And I was like, no one is watching this stupid truck race. Like, why would they have this? And they're like, you know, whoever wins, I obviously have no idea. And they're like, yep, he had a great season, and that's why he is the champ. Like, he won the whole thing. And I'm like, oh, that could be why they're not coming to the football game. It's because they've been they've been waiting for this moment the whole year. And then they did. But they went to the football 5 minutes later because it's still the Big Ten. I mean, yes. You know, I think it was CBS Sports or
Big Ten one of those Friday channels. Night. Still weird.
Yeah, exactly. So, the Big Ten and the Pac-12, just get your games in when you can. Because, I mean, I don't know what's going to go on because I think California just went to 10 p.m. restrictions, right?
Don't get me started on this.
I'm just saying, about the football. Like.
But don't forget, college football and sports are probably an essential business, so it's okay.
Oh, essential business. Okay, yeah. I see. Yeah, I'm going to essentially get myself some McDonald's at 11. So that's what's going to happen for me. But we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be rolling down the football hill. So stick with us. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. We'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Man, I tell you what, that dang old
In This League.
Talk about www.com, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. I'm joined by Casey Bubba at BD Entrick on the Twitter machine. We had a great Thursday night football game just wrap up right before we started recording this show, and the Seahawks come away with it 28-21. Another just great, great nationally televised game between these two teams. The other one was on Sunday Night Football. I think that was the one didn't get flexed because of
the Raiders
having the
Raiders Patriots or something like that. So yeah, it's supposed to be the opener in Vegas.
Yep. Right. The first time they had the COVID stuff. Now, you know, Clelin Ferrell and the close contacts and all that good stuff. None True. of like it's over half their starting defense isn't going to practice this week at all. So there's no line in that game. The Welsh and I already talked about that a little bit, but this was the first half was kind of ugly and it was low scoring. Neither offense was really moving the ball very well. It was, I think it was 16-7 yep. in the Seahawks' favor going into halftime. And then the second half, they kind of opened up. They both scored touchdowns in the third quarter. In the fourth, Arizona almost caught up. They scored a touchdown, but then the Seahawks got a field goal and a safety to make it 28-21. And then the Cardinals on their last drive had a chance to tie this game. A couple bad throws from Murray. He got sacked by Carl Lawson, who, I mean, that trade is paying off for the Seahawks for sure, getting Carl Lawson. He had a sack earlier in this game, but he had the sack to end it on fourth down as well. As far as stats go, for the winning Seattle side, Russell Wilson, 23 of 28, 197 yards, two touchdowns. Carlos Hyde, who I started everywhere, thank God, 14 for 79 and a score, two catches for 16. Russell Wilson also ran for 42. Bo Scarborough was in the, they only had Scarborough, DJ Dallas, and Hyde active. Scarborough had six carries for 31. Dallas had one for 13 and two catches for 19. Lockett, 9 for 67 and a score. Metcalf, 3 for 46 and a score. Also dropped one that hit him literally in the face. The ball hit him in the face, and he dropped it.
In the face.
In the face. Greg Olsen, 2 for 20. Hollister, 2 for 14. On the Cardinals side, Kyler Murray, 29 of 42, 269 and 2. He also ran for 15 yards only in this one. Drake, only 11 carries, 29 yards and a score, four catches for 31. Chase Edmonds, 2 for 13 on the ground, but had 4 for 36 and a touchdown through the air. Larry Fitzgerald, your leading receiver for the Cardinals, flashed from the past year and led in targets, 10 targets, 8 catches, 62 yards. Hopkins, 8 targets, 5 for 51. Kirk, 4 for 50. And, you know, Max Williams, 2 for 29. So what did you see in this game, Bubba? And were you more impressed by the Seahawks or more disappointed by the Cardinals?
I was more disappointed by the Cardinals, to be honest. I thought they were – well, we'll get into our bets later. Like, I had Buffalo winning last week. We obviously know the Cardinals had the dramatic Hail Mary there to make that
happen. Hail Murray, push. Excuse you. Yes, yeah. Hail Murray.
Hail Murray. Sorry. Dad jokes. I should have that down by now. but, yeah, that was an easy one. It was weird, though. The first half, like you said, it was a slow first half. It felt like a bad Thursday night game again. I'm sitting there going, okay, the guys are getting sacked. Russ and Kyler were getting sacked. They weren't making good passes. Guys are dropping balls. I'm like, okay, this is not good. I guess because everyone was hyped up for this game from past seasons, from earlier this season. These two teams should have been fireworks on paper. So watching them come out in the second half scoring touchdowns was big. You know, Metcalf, like you said, let everybody down, but Lockett, that's two games now that he's torched the Cardinals out of the slot. That's like something that people need to keep picking up on. Fitzgerald, I wouldn't count on that going forward. That was a nice game, but let's be real about it. Kirk could have had a bigger game. They missed him on like three passes, I think. So it was one of those games where Kyler wasn't on. Let's put it that way. He had a lot of chance, even late in the game, that Isabella played on third down should have been a touchdown. Like that should have been.
Yeah, I mean, he barely got that. That was a good throw. He barely got that one off. And it got to Isabella, but I thought it was a great play by both Reeds, Jaren Reed to get in his face and then DJ Reed to strip it out of Isabella's hand over there. So because that looked like last time this game went into overtime.
Yeah. And, DeAndre needs to teach him the strong hand drill.
Yeah, exactly. So I think you can't really depend on DeAndre because his hands are like the size of snow shovels. So, you know, you can't really teach that from DeAndre, but. I'm with you. I wasn't. This wasn't the Seahawks' best game. They of course won it, and but Metcalf had two big drops. The run game was okay, more effective in the second half. Obviously,
man, can we get Chris Carson back, please? For the love of God,
I'm okay with Carson not playing because
you don't have him on fantasy anywhere, do you? You have nowhere.
I got Carlos Hyde everywhere. I mean, you know,
I love Chris Carson, and he's killing me.
Yeah, I know. It's four straight weeks he's missed. So.
And it's every week. He's going to be back. And then, like, I can't remember who tweeted it out on Wednesday. It was like a play in four acts. It was Roto World's reports on Carlos or on Carson. Looks good to suit up Thursday. Missed practice Tuesday. Now it's questionable Thursday. Out Thursday night. Just boom, boom, boom. I was like, oh, God.
That's the way the cookie crumbles. They do play Monday next week. Monday Night Football against the Eagles. So,
yeah, but that's one of those. Okay, so if you don't, if you're not confident, do you risk him playing Monday night? Like,
you better go pick up Carlos Hyde just in case,
or Bo Scarborough, because Hyde's probably gone already.
Do you think? I mean, you know, Kyler Murray really didn't look right after the shoulder thing. He got wrapped up and thrown down on his shoulder. They're putting a heating pad on it. You assume he got the nice whatever it's called, Toradol injection at halftime or whatever. But I don't know, man. He wasn't cranking the ball downfield, and that it didn't surprise me because he got hurt. But that is something that can linger. Are you worried about him moving forward?
It's not good
next week. Yeah,
it's not good. I'm not gonna be worried just yet, but let's see how he feels tomorrow. That'll be the big test. Like you said, the Toradol shot, you kind of forget how the world works for a little while, so that's always good. Give him a day or two to figure that out. But if they don't have him, then kiss everything goodbye. That's obvious. You don't need an expert for that. But
right.
I wouldn't be too worried just yet because he still was throwing the ball pretty well towards the end of the game. So it's just
my favorite thing was that Aaron Rodgers interview. What was that? Was that opening night last year? Or 2 years ago when they played the Bears and he got his knee all twisted up, and they came back and won, and then they were interviewing him after and he could not stop laughing. Everything was great. So
he got the good stuff because he could barely stand up and get off the field. Everyone thought he had a torn ACL. Like, he's done. Like, done. And here he comes, you know, Captain America stuff back there.
All right, well, let's get to some bets here, shall we? And we'll start out this game. I'm actually, most of the time we start out with a hard one. I feel like this one is easy, but maybe you'll convince me otherwise. Atlanta is on the road at New Orleans. They're 4.5 point favorites, or New Orleans is 4.5 point home favorites. 50 is the over on this game. Obviously Jameis Winston starting. I mean, they say they don't know, but it's Jameis Winston starting. Yeah. Taysom Hill's not going to start, play quarterback. You might get some quarterback plays, so I like him on FanDuel at 4,500 in tight end. So because he qualifies a tight end on FanDuel.
Croc there.
So I like it. I love it. I'm using it. Yeah, everyone can use it. So why not? Exactly. But who are you going with in this game?
It's New Orleans and the over. Jameis going to eat that W because even bad Jameis Winston can throw all over this defense. So it might not be a pretty game, but New Orleans is still the better football team. But I know we're recording this on a Thursday. For those that didn't pay attention, the injury report on Thursday was very interesting on practices for all over the league out of nowhere stuff. I'm assuming Alvin Kamara plays, but he missed Thursday's practice with a foot injury. So if he's out, that could change a lot of this. I'm just going to throw that out there right now. But for now, New Orleans over. I eat the W.
Well, when the Welsh and I were doing our FanDuel lineups, I had Kamara in. We went to commercial break. I saw the report. I had to take him out. So I took him out. I put Nick Chubb in, and then I flipped my Jakeem Grant flex play to DJ Chark because he's been getting so many targets. So that was my move that I made after that. So that's it's concerning, of course. And then DeAndre Swift too.
When did he get a concussion? When did this
yesterday?
Happen?
No, Wednesday. It must have been. It must have been Wednesday.
I didn't hear anything about it. And all of a sudden, I'm like, what?
He practiced in full on Wednesday. So it either happened at the end of practice Wednesday and he went in and said, hey, my head's hurting or whatever. Or they, pulled him off the field and said, looks like you took a headshot. And then because Thursday he didn't practice and now is in concussion protocol. So
that made me mad. Yeah, because he was a great play this week in DFS at his price points.
Against
Carolina, the worst run defense on the planet.
we'll get to that game probably in the next segment here, but I think we can get another one in here.
Yep.
Cincinnati, your boy Joey Covers at Washington. Washington is a 1.5 point home favorite. 46.5 is the over on this game. Cincinnati didn't look great against my Steelers last week, so how are you going in this game here?
Yeah, a lot of people don't look great against your Steelers most weeks, unless they're the Cowboys in Dallas, which is funny. But I feel bad doing this to my boy Joey, but I'm going Alex Smith getting the W. Washington -1.5, but I'm taking the over. I think this over is way too low. If you're playing DFS this week, both these teams are way too cheap, great value-wise. I think Alex Smith gets it done. He's thrown for over 320 yards in both games since being back, really spreading around. Give me Washington. Give me the over because Burrow will still move the ball, but Washington will get the dub.
How many pass attempts? And see, I wish we were doing the prop bets again, because this is one I'd have for you. How many pass attempts for Alex Smith this game? He had 55 last week. Obviously not going to come anywhere close to that. But
I'd say around 35-ish.
35-ish?
Yeah.
All right. I went with Washington with you, but I took the under because I think the matchup of that Cincinnati O-line versus the Washington defensive line, that's the Cincinnati's worst part versus Washington's best part. They're going to have a tough time scoring, I think. So Burrow's going to have to get that ball out quick, or this could be one of those games where he is just dazed and confused at the end of it. But we're going to hit a break here. When we come back, we're going to wrap up all of Bubba's bets, get his parlay and his ITL pick as well. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Chris Welsh
said you were coming.
What else did he say?
He said you were the best in the parsec.
Scott Bogman,
former Imperial sharpshooter.
That's not saying much.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, wise ass.
Please excuse his lack of decorum.
In This League.
This is the way. Stop touching things.
Welcome back, everybody. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid, the Mightier 1090 in San Diego as well. We are having fun picking games here. Bubba, you have gone with New Orleans and Washington. Now, this line actually flipped as we were recording because we got the report that Teddy Bridgewater most likely will not play for Carolina this week. They'll be going with the XFLer, PJ Walker, which I would do over Will Greer as well. But they were favorites, Carolina, but now it has flipped to Detroit on the road at Carolina, minus a point and a half, no over in this game. So we had one of those last week as well. So Detroit minus a point and a half, but Stafford is playing with the torn ligament in his throwing hand on his thumb. So you have a gimpy starter versus a backup. It's going to be a weird game. I feel like I would just take the under. Regardless of what it was, if we had a number, but it's Detroit minus a point and a half. How do you see this one going?
Yeah, this is a very, very tough one because Stafford is banged up. They might have Kenny Galladay back. They might not have DeAndre Swift because in concussion protocol. You got PJ Walker starting for Carolina. There's a lot of question marks here. So if Swift is out, I'm assuming Swift's out. I'm going to go Carolina plus 1.5.
Carolina plus 1.5. All right. Welsh and I both took Detroit. Don't have a great feel in this game, obviously. Yeah. This is going to be one that I'm not watching. I'm actually glad it's early. I'm glad it's on when my Steelers game is on, so I don't have to look at this stupid game. I'm not excited about it at all whatsoever. How about this one? New England on the road at Houston. We thought New England was dead and buried. They had to come back to beat the Jets, and then they beat the Ravens. So maybe the Ravens just aren't good. I don't know. But New England on the road at Houston, they are 2.5-point favorites now coming off that win against Baltimore. 49 is the over in this game. How do you see that one going?
Like I took New England in the points last week. Still didn't think they'd win that game. I still don't think they're a good football team. They're a well-coached football team.
But are they better than Houston?
Yeah, that's the predicament we're in here. Bill O'Brien was there, so it'd be easy, New England. I'm going to take Houston at home in this one. I don't feel great about it. I'm going to take Houston plus 2.5 at home. Give me the over in this one there. I think they can they'll move the ball a bit. Give me Houston plus 2.5 in the over.
This is the first one where we disagree on both sides. I took New England and the under. I just think that Houston run defense is they're dead last. They're giving up over 160 yards a game.
Let me correct you real quick. That Houston defense.
Yeah, okay. That Houston defense overall. But yes. What can New England do passing? They haven't been great passing. Only against Seattle were they good. So I think this is an under, but I hate this game as a whole. So not really feeling it. How about Philly at Cleveland? Cleveland is a 3-point home favorite. 47 is the over on this game. Obviously, last week, a lot of weather stuff going on in Cleveland, which fed the under in that game. We don't have any really weird weather stuff as of now. Obviously, things change leading up to game day, but nothing expected. Maybe a little bit of light rain in a couple games here, but nothing massive like those 50-mile-an-hour gusts or anything. So this one seems fairly normal, and Cleveland is favored over Philly. I can't get a read on Philly, but how are you going in this game?
I would say I can't get a read on Philly at all. They're getting healthy. Then
it's just bad.
Like garbage. Like it's the NFC East. Right. I'm going to go Cleveland minus -3 in this one. I want to take the under, but I'm going to take the over. With the way both teams can throw the ball at times, I'm going to take the over, but I don't like that. I do like Cleveland minus -3, though.
So let me, I might convince you, so don't write it in pen. You're going to take the over on Baker Mayfield and Carson Wentz.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Just, you have to, I just needed you to say that out loud because how we do this, and we can see each other, you know, I give him the lines, he writes them down and then writes what he picks so he can see it on Sunday and we can text each other and talk smack. So, it's always fun. But I was trying to convince you before you wrote it down, but no such luck on that one. How about my Steelers on the road against Jacksonville? The Steelers are 10-point favorites. 46.5 is the over in this game. I picked against Pittsburgh last week, and it didn't work out for me. Cincinnati definitely didn't cover, even though they had been playing better. How do you see this one going?
Man, is this another one of those where they go on the road and play down with their opponents like we saw in Dallas? It kind of feels that way. It really does. So I'm going to take Jacksonville plus 10. Don't feel great about it, but I do feel good about the under in this game. I think it's Jacksonville tries to keep it as slow as possible. It's going to be Jacksonville plus 10 and the under.
Yeah, I mean, I love the report where Ben said that he talked to Tomlin about getting the same type of practice regimen that he had last
don't
week.
Don't play a walkthrough on Saturday.
Yeah, he threw 4 touchdowns and just did a walkthrough on Saturday. So he said, you know what? I told Ben he did an excellent job, and I'll see him on Thursday. So, you know, so he got a couple days off. That's nice. But no. You got to get your ass back to practice. We're not going to play. We're not going to play with fire every single week. You know, it's funny. I'm a Redditor. I go on Reddit a lot. Look at some stuff there. And the Steelers Reddit. They have all these funny memes about, you know, everyone's friends. Like, why are you guys worried about the Jaguars? Why are you guys worried about the Jaguars? And I've said this a million times, so I apologize to people who have heard me say it a bunch this week. But lost to Blake Bortles and David Garrard in the playoffs against Jacksonville. So I worry about the Jaguars. They tend to beat us. So and I hated them when they were in our division. Remember, they were in the AFC Central for a while when it was the Central, when them and Carolina came in. And that was Mark Brunell and Fred Taylor and Keenan McCardle and Jimmy Smith and all those guys. They were a good squad back then. How about this Tennessee at Baltimore game, Bubba? Baltimore are 6-point home favorites. 48.5 is the over on that one. How do you see that one going?
Run. That also translates to tick, 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 tick. Give me Tennessee and the under.
Tennessee and the under with confidence too. I hate this game. I can't figure out Baltimore. I feel
Lamar, folks, the cheat code's been found.
It has been found, but they might get that game genie in there and release all the cheat codes for Lamar. They got to let the dude throw the ball. That they got to run some shotgun. They got to not depend on the run so much. I know that's the game plan because the D is good and all that stuff, but you gotta let the kid throw.
Quentin Tarantino made a movie about Baltimore Ravens, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. That's just what happened.
Whatever. Your Dolphins, such a bad joke. Your Dolphins are on the road against Denver. They're 3.5-point road favorites at elevation, 45.5 in this game. How do you see this one going?
With authority, they go to 7-3, 4-0 with Tua. I believe it's 6 straight dubs. Miami, under.
Miami and the under. All right. Welsh also took the under. I took the over just because you never know when Drew Lock's going to show up and put some points up. He didn't last week at all, which was nice because I picked against them. But he worries me a little bit. But I'm I took the Miami minus 3.5 as my lock pick of the week.
Yeah.
So with authority, you can't do it. I already have it. So you can take the under if you want. But I already took that one.
I'm just happy you're on my side now. So it's cool.
I am. I'm absolutely on your side. How about we've got the Jets on the road against the Chargers. Chargers have been playing great, but they're 8.5-point favorites in this game because the Jets are horrific and tragic. 46.5 is the over in this game. This one seems like a tough one to pick. You know, on Line Star with me and Joe waffled and he went to the Jets. How do you see this game playing?
You could have picked 28 other football teams. I'd probably take the dog in this one, but it's the Jets. So give me the Chargers minus 8.5, but give me the under on this one because I don't trust Joe Flacco or Sam Darnold, whoever is quarterback for the Jets, to put up at least, you know, 17 points.
And it's going to be Flacco again.
Mr. Pass Interference. That's the only way they're going to get any points on the board. So Chargers under.
He looked good on Monday night against the Pats 2 weeks ago, Flacco did. And I'm not – He looked good for Flacco. How about that?
You know,
for what Flacco is now. Obviously, he was a good quarterback back in the day-ish. You know,
don't want to – elite.
Yeah, you know, come on. I don't want to fight you in the middle of this podcast. So I'm not – no. Throwing the ball downfield and waiting for a flag is not elite. He was elite on that Super Bowl run, absolutely. I'll give that up all day. That's probably the best four games he had in his career. So he was fun to watch at that point. This one, Dallas at Minnesota. Minnesota is a 7-point home favorite. 48 is the over in this one. This is always interesting. How do you see this one going?
I'll take Minnesota minus 7. The total's a little more tricky for me because Minnesota doesn't want to run the ball, but Dallas will have to do something. So I'm going to take the over in this one. I like Minnesota minus 7 much more than the total.
I think I might have too much respect for Dallas after they took the Steelers down to the wire. So I took Dallas and I took the under because I think, Minnesota wants to run the football. And if that works for them, you know, they're going to run the ball 50 times and throw it 10. That's what Mike Zimmer wants to do. Every single time out. So it doesn't always work out like that. But they beat the Bears, and I think the Bears are significantly better than the Cowboys. Maybe not on offense. I don't know if the – is there a worse offensive team than the Bears? Are the Jets worse?
No, because Jamison Crowder can put up points. So they do something, but they're close because Adam Gase is a moron. So
yeah, they're very close. True. Yeah, I agree. Did you see that cut-up of Darnell Mooney just – torching corners and then getting overthrown and underthrown? It's like a 3-minute cut up I saw on Instagram the other day of Mooney. I mean, he shook Ramsey, he shook some good corners, and then just the ball goes way over his head every single time.
Thank you, Nick Foles.
Green Bay at Indianapolis. Indianapolis, a 2.5-point home favorite. 51 is the over in this game. How do you see that one going?
To be a lot of dad gommets out there because the Green Bay Packers are going to win this one outright. Give me the plus 2.5, but give me the over in this one. Nice Sunday night football matchup here.
Green Bay and the over on that's not Sunday night football, actually. The Sunday night football game is
right.
Kansas City and the Raiders, but we don't have
that's
a line
on hold.
Yeah,
well, okay, well, I'll save it for later because the segment's almost done. But who do they flex in there because they're not losing prime time?
Oh, no, I think that game's going to get played. That game will get played so.
Can you imagine Mahomes versus the all second string defense?
That's why there's no line. That's why there's no over. God. And the Chiefs are pissed because the Raiders beat them in Arrowhead. And then did you see the thing they did with the bus?
Oh, yeah.
They did a victory lap around Arrowhead. Mm-hmm. So that's disrespect, man. That's not smart. That's not smart to – I mean, that's poking the bear. There, that's waiting to get embarrassed on your home field
this Sunday week. Night for the world to watch.
Yep. Good luck with all that, as we say. And then the Monday night football game is the Rams at the Bucks. The Bucks are 3.5-point home favorites. 47 is the over in this one.
Yeah, I'll take Tampa Bay and the over in this one. Pretty confident in both those, actually, because we saw Tampa Bay bounce back when they're ticked off. They're a good football team. There will be some points in this game. They're still the Rams. They do it week in and week out. They just leave you scratching your head sometimes. Tampa Bay over.
I did say run away from this game. I don't want any part of it, but I took the Rams in the under. Their defense is playing great right now. All they need is Jared Goff to show up. That's all they need. He threw for 300 yards last week, couldn't get a score, lost me my DFS matchup against the Welsh. I'm not bitter about it or anything, but we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to wrap this up. We're going to get the parlay and the ITL parlay from Bubba. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Welcome back, everybody. You hear Endless Love. You know what that means. It is the end of the three-hour tour of In This League on the Sports Grid. Please follow us all on Twitter if you would, at Bogdan Sports for me, at BDNTrick for Bubba, at Is It The Welsh for the Welsh. Please check out the ITL Army Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army, where you can see all of the great work that we are doing over there. We got secret shows. We got the Mandalorian podcast we're talking about every single week. We have got fantasy baseball rankings. The Welsh has his rankings up already. We've been talking about them. We're doing ADP drafts. I keep wanting to say IDP drafts. ADP drafts for baseball right now in the works. We're going to be doing those every month for Patreon members as well. So please go and check that out if you would. A three-team parlay, Bubba. I have Miami -3.5, New Orleans, Atlanta over, Green Bay +2.5. What is your parlay here?
Yeah, I'm going to go the New Orleans, Atlanta over as well, over 50. I have Miami -3.5, and I have Tampa Bay -3.5.
Tampa Bay. So the only one you can pick is Tampa Bay -3.5.
Because the Welsh went over 50.
Yep, he did. He took
what was your third one in yours again?
Green Bay +2.5.
I almost picked them too. We almost had the same parlay. Like that between Tampa Bay and Green Bay.
Well, you know, sometimes that's a bad sign because we haven't been hitting these. Yeah. But I think all three of us picking these, this is a good sign. So I'm the only adult that took the Rams this week. So maybe it won't work out for me. Although we didn't even talk about last week, Bub. You did pretty good, against the spread, not great, but 7-5, adding to that total.
8-5. The Chicago Monday night game went under. You even missed. Don't miss that one.
Yeah, I got that. I got that under. So I got no. We had one. We had the Tampa, the Washington, Detroit didn't have an over.
That's not bad. So not bad.
Yeah. No, that got Welsh earlier too. So don't feel bad about that at all. It's getting people all the time. So because you're a half game up on me on your over-unders versus my against the spread because I have one more loss because there's one more game on the against the spread. So, but that is it for us. Please, like I said, check out the Patreon. Follow us on Twitter. Do all the stuff and things. We'd really appreciate it. Have a great weekend, everyone. We hope you win all your fantasy matchups, all your bets, all that good stuff, and we will see you next week. Take it easy, everybody.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.